Yeah, I have a lot of friends that listen to that.
I have a lot of friends that know my best friend.
Yep. You're my best friend and I'm your best friend.
That's a little
Yeah. Chick-fil-A tonight. Right, that light's on. There you go. Hello, Ken. You hear me?
Yes.
Is that better? Okay. If that song is inappropriate for how I feel, Lord, I need you. Lord, I do need you. Compromise. If I had to kind of capsulize it, I would say me. And I think tonight, after we hopefully get through just a small portion of talking about compromise, I had so many scripture verses that I could have taken. And I was struggling. And you can ask my wife, of course, every time I get up here, I struggle. But compromise, I think there's a danger in the church today. I think it's really epidemic. And it kind of reminds me of a story I heard about a Civil War soldier, or a person didn't know which side to go, on the north or on the south. So when he said, you know what I'll do? I got an idea. I'll put a jacket of the north, and I'll put pants of the southern. So we went out there, and guess what happened? Both sides shot him. Compromise. It's a big danger. You know, we see in our government today, kind of, you know who's on the left, and you know who has a big trunk on the right. And compromise.
Who is those people?
That's our political system. And sometimes compromise is not always bad. Except maybe the guy on the left. But he still needs Jesus anyway. And so I want to talk about compromise. It reminds me of a story. Actually, before I get to the story, about what Proverbs 4:25 and 27 says. Can somebody read that for me? Go ahead.
Let your eyes look straight ahead, fix in your
Don't turn. Very good. Hey, you know, we're family here. You know, he reads better than I do, to be honest with you.
Good boy. I love that. Don't worry.
Yeah. And we're about the... Left or right. You know, it reminds me of what the Word of God is. It what? A lamp unto our... And a light unto our... You know, and that's how our lives should be, and that's how the church should be. And so there are compromises that are good, and some that tonight we'll talk about, how a godly, righteous man, and I can, or woman, we can be solely committed and surrendered to doing of God's will. But there are sometimes areas in our life that we kind of like forget where we are when we want to go here. Oh no, let's go over here. And we begin to see some dangers and what can happen in a godly man. Give me some examples that you may see in the New Testament or the Old Testament about a person that has compromised. I know Pastor Darren just talked about one, and that was who? It has a big S, and it's not Superman.
Saul.
What?
Saul.
Saul, well, he was definitely a man of compromise.
Saul.
What?
Solomon.
That's right. And we see, you know, in, yes, Hezekiah.
Also, didn't Abraham
compromise? Oh, yes. Oh, Abraham. How did he, we talk about, come on up here.
The family.
Maybe a future pastor.
Hey.
See? See with this? We need to talk. What are some of the things you've learned about Abraham? As we go through the Bible study in Genesis.
That he was constantly making the same mistake about calling Sarah his sister.
Mm. Was it true?
Yeah. No, half true.
And sometimes in the middle, look what happens. And what were some of the examples that the consequences of him compromising being wholehearted to the Lord?
Ishmael was came because he went to Egypt, and then that's how Ishmael got there. And then the other one, I don't know. Abimelech, but I don't really remember the consequence of what happened. It was mostly to Abimelech, not to Abraham.
That's true, but he still compromised. Okay. Yeah. What about another character, a nephew of his?
Lot.
Okay. How did that all happen?
He first saw the green, he's like, oh, let me just put my glasses closer. Oh, now I'm in the city. And now I'm the gatekeeper. Fire of the Lord. Oh.
Compromise. And we all know what the story of Lot is about. But he's right. When there was an argument, a dispute between Abraham at that time, and what did he do? Instead of Abraham being the patriarch, he could have took and said, hey, I'm the old man here. But he yielded to, he said, hey, if you go right, I'll go left. And vice versa. And so he looked at the plains. It was like the Garden of Eden, and that was towards Lot or Sodom and Gomorrah. And then he got a little closer. Go ahead, Pastor. No. And then he got a little closer, and he's settling just closer to Sodom, and he's itching his way. And then we find him in the city, and what had happened?
Attacked it?
Yeah. How many kings?
Four.
Good. Okay, good. Thank you. You can go sit down. Very good. And so we see a lot compromised until he's actually in a house, settled down. But we see Abraham. Yeah, he fought, and we're going to learn more and more about Abraham. But he was looking for a building of God, not made with hands, but eternal in heaven. He always lived in a tent. He never settled down. But also, we see here in 119, verse 3, and I used the New Living because that's the only time it is the word compromise is used. And it says here, they do not compromise with evil, and they walk only in his path. That word compromise, when I looked it up in the Greek, means unrighteousness in the Strong's. And so, but compromise. Compromise. Very dangerous. And sometimes in our life, what are those blinders for? When you see horses in there, what's the purpose of it? Distracted. And there's a lot of things in our lives that we're going to see that will distract us. And it reminds me of a story of an old Russian proverb. How he went out someday, he said he wanted a fur coat. So he got his rifle and he seen a bear, a large bear, and he looked intensely at it and ready to pull a trigger. And all of a sudden the bear said, hey, wait a minute. What you doing? And we seen a couple of animals talking to me. He said, let's negotiate. Lower your rifle. And so he asked him, what do you want? He said, I want a fur coat. Okay, let's sit down and let us reason together. So they both sat down, and for a while they were there, and all of a sudden the bear got up alone, and his stomach was full, and the hunter had his fur coat. Russians taste good. Compromise. Now, do we see another person that listened to another animal way back in the garden?
Adam.
Well, actually, yeah, he was there. But what was his wife's name?
Eve.
And what did he say to her? You remember? Come on, guys, go ahead. Can someone add to that? Some of you young guys? Very good. You can look it up. Nehemiah, I know you know it. If I can put it small, has God said? God's word is always being challenging us to compromise in it in so many ways, just like that hunter. What does that word compromise mean? Well, I come up with one, an agreement or a settlement of a dispute that is reached by each side making concessions. Now, marriage is a life of compromise. And sometimes I've learned and still learning to compromise that I want to do one thing and Miss Gloria wants to do another. And a lot of times it's like left and right. And so we sit down and we begin to discuss it. Of course, she has the gun. But we try to compromise and reason. Is there a middle ground? Now, when do you think compromise is not good?
You compromise between right and wrong.
Okay, right. And here's a definition. Accept standards that are lower than is desirable. Now, what's our standards as Christians?
God's Word.
God's Word. So, what are some areas in our lives in which... Go ahead, Pastor.
I'm sorry. What you're saying is absolutely right. But you know what? Unfortunately, honestly, that's not really the standard.
Okay. Biblical standard.
In most people's lives. Mm-hmm. Even in most Christians' lives, and I'm not trying to say it sounds self-righteous here. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, I think that's what we're seeing, an erosion of in so many places, so many Christians, and so many where that's not the standard anymore. Where it's just almost the culture is taken over, or our feelings, or what we think, instead of the Word, which is why we look so impotent and powerless to the world.
Pastor Darren and I, we meet every Thursday morning, and today he bought, so I had a double blessing. And I talked about, I heard Gloria and I were listening to a pastor out in California, and he said, people are not looking for God, meaning the world, but they're looking at you. How do you live? Is your life a compromise?
You need to be quiet or you can sound. sound out when you feel like you're being challenged in your belief to do something that isn't right. I mean, you have the right to speak up when someone challenges you rather than just being quiet.
But even more so, like how you live. Right. Like if they can look at you, like do they see the compromise? Do they see the compromiser? Or do they see like a man or a woman reflecting God's light, you know, reflecting His, Jesus' image? Like when they see you, you know what I'm saying? Like that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I do.
And I remember, I don't know if it was Steve Green, and what's in Keith Green, because I wasn't saved then. He says, I share the gospel every day, but sometimes I use words. You know, I remember a guy up in one of the senior engineers that I worked for, and he came around one day, and I hate to use my example, but it's applicable for right now, and I think all of our lives. He said, Tom, they're watching you. And so I went about my job, and after a while, I was so bugged, I couldn't figure out, what does he mean by he's watching you? So I went over to his office and said, John, what do you mean? He said, people are watching your lives. You say you're this. You pray every time we have a gathering. How do you deal with the pressures that they got to deal with clients? Do you get frustrated? Do you compromise in the truth? Do you say, the work is being delayed for this week, but because of you didn't do your job right, you begin to lie or compromise the truth. You lower. Your integrity has been just now compromised. And then, go ahead, John.
Tom, can you give an example of when we try to compromise with the Lord?
Okay, that's a good question. Where are some ways, maybe in our lives, that we may compromise the Lord?
I would say one.
Go ahead.
Tithing.
What?
Tithing.
Tithing.
Lord, I can't give you 10% this month. How about 5%?
Have you spoken to you? And he said, hey, I want you to give, and you, that's a possible compromise in giving to the Lord. How about more than money? What if he's called you to do something? To serve him? Oh, I don't have time, or I'll try to fit it in my schedule, but... Jacob?
Isn't 10% a dollar?
It is a dollar when you have 10. But compromise. What is going on in our society today that's forcing us Christians to compromise? I come up with an article. Now, this is only 2 years ago about Franklin Graham, about the flood of compromise. Do you remember a baker?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, they were forced to make a cake for a homosexual couple. Mm-hmm. It was against their
beliefs, right?
They were forced to.
Yeah. Did they actually make it? I'm not sure. But we're being challenged to do it. You know, they shut it down because they wouldn't do it. They were willing to financially lose everything to compromise their values, God's word, God's standard. This article here about Duck Dynasty. Look at all the hubbub going on now with the A&E. They wanted to shut down because of the LGBT. And they say, hey, I'll give it all up. And all of a sudden, the pressure from losing thousands upon thousands of viewers, they backed off it. Well, maybe not. And then all of a sudden we see Cracker Barrel pulling all their stuff off. And then when that all settled, they had to redo it. Compromise. They didn't. They stood their ground. Even for financial loss of everything. Go ahead, Elijah. I'm sorry? Cracker Barrel. They had to put the stuff back on the shelves because A&E, a network, decided to not take them off the air. They were going to lose money, the Duck Dynasty or the patriarch said, no, I'll give it all up. And there's another ministry that didn't compromise. It's called World Vision. What did they do?
They did compromise.
Yeah. And we gave it for years upon years. And they deal with orphans. What they began to do, because of our culture is now saying what marriage is, they decided to start hiring homosexual gays into their ministry. There's other things that they did, but they compromised the standard of God's word.
This is why they overseas, they go down like this. They lose it a lot.
And of course they retracted, but it was too late. Their heart was shown. And you know, Franklin Graham and that ministry was started by the same person. I was his mentor, by Pierce, I think his name was. And it just broke his heart. And there's another World Vision. And what was that other ministry, honey, we came across? Just recently. You know Flip a Flop? No. Is it Flip a Flop? No. The Gaines' family.
Fixer Upper.
Because they go to an evangelical church that preaches what marriage is, biblically, they're being persecuted. They're trying to get them off the air. But they don't do anything. They don't reject anybody, speak anything. But because of the agenda of our society for our church to compromise. But
the LGBT is trying to get the HGTV television network to discontinue their show simply because they go to an evangelical church that believes that homosexual marriage is wrong. So, but they personally have never done anything to make that stand or anything.
It's a form of bullying.
It's bullying.
And you know what? Hobby Lobby.
Yeah.
What did they say? We'll close down. They're willing not to compromise to the pressures of the world. Now, that's going to be tens of thousands of people unemployed. And some people would say they're wrong.
That's because they won't pay for contraceptives in their insurances.
And so, and this is what 1 Timothy 4:12 says. Now the Spirit of God expressly says in the latter days, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrine of demons. There are many teachings that are coming in, and I sadly is saying, in both Pastor Darren and I, we were both ordained in the same movement, and now there's a split. Now, I say this because it's well-publicized on the media. That one wanted to stay true to biblical principles. The other one wanted to be culturally relative to the world, the young people, the millennials. And there's a big split. I don't know where it's going to go and who's going to side. But even today, and something that I once thought was going to finish well, now we see. Back in the 80s, there was a split, and the Vineyard came out of it. One wanted the experience, doctrine, being compromised. But we have to stand strong. I want to talk about a brother, an Old Testament brother. His name is Jehoshaphat. So why don't we go to 2 Chronicles and let's look at a man who just loved the Lord with all his heart. And that's in chapter 17. Now, I'm not going to do all the three chapters, but I'm going to kind of try to highlight a few. And that's hard for me to highlight. Do I hear an amen, honey? So we see here in chapter 17, we see that he became king. His father, Asa, was a good king. Now I'm going to touch a little bit later because he's one of my favorite kings, but he didn't finish well. And a lot of times we see that the fruits of the Father sometimes is passed down. And we see a lot of similarities in Asa. But he was a godly man. The Lord strengthened him in the beginning. And he built up a lot of what his father first started. He got rid of a lot of the high places or the Ashtaroth and these images that were God hated. Idolatrous. But then we see here, as he began to strengthen, God began to give him great favor. Yes, Hezekiah?
What book?
It's 2 Chronicles chapter 17.
Is there a certain verse you want us to?
I'm just going to highlight a few and then I'm going to get to the verse. But chapter 17 just shows that Jehoshaphat started really good. He was right on. He was sold out like a Billy Graham. And there was great revival. And he began to build cities and strengthen them in a whole lot of area. And at the end of that chapter, we see 960,000 troops, fighting men, plus the ones of all the cities that he fortified. And then he began to send out teachers to all the people. And all of a sudden, God, he realized that my people will perish because of what? A lack of knowledge. He wanted his people to grow in understanding of the Old Testament. So a great work of God, and he sent prince, other people in there to teach them. And I like that. That's a good, healthy church where you have a leader. And all of a sudden, I can't do it all. So he has others alongside him to, hey, you go into this town, and you go over there, and hey, Ray, you got some real good gifts. Why don't you start feeding a couple? Pizza, and a weenie, and all that good stuff. Make them fat, but in the Lord. But he did a great job in the beginning of his walk. But someone read, and this is the first area of his compromise. A wrong marital relationship. Someone read verse 1 of 18. Go ahead, Elijah.
Verse 18?
Yeah.
Now Jehoshaphat had great riches and honor, and he made a marriage alliance with Ahab.
Ooh.
Oh, my Lord.
Now, why did they kind of do that? Remember what Pastor Darren talked about with Solomon? Why they did? It was a natural thing to make alliances with other kingdoms.
Especially
Hezekiah.
The kingdom. If the other person wanted to attack them, then they would know if they were down or something was in that country, so they wouldn't like to attack that.
Very good. And so this was a common phrase in order to strengthen the kingdom. But the thing is here, what do we see in chapter 17? That was really already strengthened. Why would he want to make an alliance to strengthen? He had defeated them over and over again. First mistake is that we're going to see that marriage, there were some consequences of that. Somebody read in chapter 19. Let's look at what God says about that relationship. Go ahead, December. 19, verse 2.
Jehu the seer desired.
Can you say it a little,
Anahan? I don't know how to pronounce this.
Okay, Jehu.
Jehu the seer, the son of Hanani, went out to meet him and said to the king, should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? Because of this, the wrath of Hanani is coming.
God was really angry. So the first guy, you know, I don't want God angry at me. That first step was in the anger of God. But also we see in chapter 22 that she began to take the throne when the husband died. And wouldn't you know what he did? She tried, if you read in chapter 22, just to bring it down, she murdered all the sons of the king, trying to erase David's line. But God seeing it, and what did God do? In spite of them compromising, God took a little boy and hid him away, and his name was Josiah. Which is King David's line.
Actually,
Jehoram.
Yeah.
And so, but then she also introduced all sorts of idolatry into paganism. And who do you think the mother was?
Wait a minute.
A good woman. Now, who was married to Asa? I mean, to Ahaz?
Jezebel.
Oh.
Jezebel.
Yeah.
Yes, she was a wicked woman. She wasn't a good woman.
She was the most evil woman. And we had a prophet.
She got followed.
But we see a godly man who destroyed, it's in the same context, the 400 Baal worshippers and 300 others. And he did a mighty work, and all of a sudden Jezebel threatens Elijah. And he takes off. And so she was wicked. She had a reputation. But this is what Jehoshaphat allowed his son to marry into. And God didn't want it. It almost, the enemy is always trying to, the first way, relationship within the family. And we see that even in King Asa, early in his life, he had to get rid of a family member, a mother or grandmother. Because he realized it was hindering the nation to grow and to be established in God's blessing. But here, right away. But he had the wrong marriage, but also wrong social relationships. Let's turn to chapter 18, verses 2 and 3. Would someone read that? Chapter 18. Jacob.
How many years later, he went down visit Ahab to Samaria, and Ahab slaughtered many sheep and oxen for him, and the people who were with him, and included him to go up against
Ramoth-Gilead. And so here he goes up after a couple of years later, enticed with this big banquet of who and given him a big banquet. You know, what about during in the New Testament? Do we see another banquet being given and somebody dancing? Oh, I'll give you up to half of the kingdom if you dance for us. What do you want? And what did he get? And he liked John the Baptist. He liked John the Baptist. A party, a social gathering. All the kings were there, and all the other leaders, and all of a sudden, he realized, ooh, my reputation. Be careful when you go to parties, when there's maybe more than just food, there's alcohol, or enticing women. You begin to maybe get yourself compromised. That's part of my life. Actively in social gatherings that are not godly and where God is being exalted and lifted up. You can lose your head, literally, or your pocketbook, or both. How about spiritual relationship? Wrong spiritual. Someone read for me starting in verse 4, and I'll ask you to stop like Pastor Darren. I want to keep it in good company. Someone read that for me.
But Jehoshaphat also said to the king of Israel, first seek the counsel of the Lord. So the king of Israel brought together the prophets, 400 men, and asked them, shall we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall I refrain? Go, they answered, for God will give it into the king's hands. But Jehoshaphat asked, is there not a prophet of the Lord here whom we can inquire of?
Hold on there a second. So what do we see here happening with Jehoshaphat? Did he do a good thing? Inquire of the Lord. He wanted to. But what happened is he had 400 prophets of Baal, which we know that got destroyed later on. Praise the Lord. But, now continue on. So he did a good thing. And he bring, and we see the prophet say, hey, go again, go ahead. God will give you victory.
So the king of Israel answered Jehoshaphat, there is one man through whom we can inquire of the Lord, but I hate him because he never prophesies anything good about me. Always bad.
Sound right here. Go ahead, Elijah.
Reminds me of that teaching Dad talks about.
Hear what
they only
want to
hear what they're
teaching.
Good.
So he is Micaiah, son of Imlah. The king should not say that, Jehoshaphat replied.
So he did a good thing. He said, hey, man, what you're saying is wrong. You're putting down a one godly. Of course, we know that it was more. Go ahead.
So the king of Israel called one of his officials and said, bring Micaiah, son of Imlah, at once. Dressed in their royal robes, the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, were sitting in their on their thrones at the threshing floor by the entrance of the gate of Samaria when all the prophets prophesying before them. Now Zedekiah, son of Kenaiah, had made iron horns, and he declared, this is what the Lord says. With these, you will gore the Armenians until they are destroyed.
The horn means strength.
Arameans.
Yeah, Arameans. It's the same thing, Samaria. Syria.
Yeah, so you'll gore them with these horns. All the other prophets were prophesying the same thing. Attack Ramoth of Gilead and be victorious, they said, for the Lord will give it into the king's hands. The messenger who had gone to summon Micaiah said to him, look, as one man, the other prophets are predicting success for the king. Let your word agree with theirs and speak favorably. But Micaiah said, as surely as the Lord lives, I can tell them only what my God says.
Okay. Amen. So he's the Micaiah, a man of uncompromising, is not willing. I mean, he could lose his life, lose his head, but he's standing. But he gets a little sarcastic here. Go ahead. Yeah, twist that now.
So when he arrived, the king asked him, Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramoth Gilead, or shall I refrain? Attack and be victorious, he answered, or they will be given into your hand. The king said to him, how many times must I make you swear to tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? Then Micaiah answered, I saw all Israel scattered on the hills like sheep without a shepherd. And the Lord said, these people have no master. Let each one go home in peace. The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, didn't I tell you that he never prophesies anything good about me, but only bad? Micaiah continued, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne with all the host of heaven standing on his right and on his left. And the Lord said, who will entice Ahaz, king of Israel, into attacking Ramoth Gilead and go into his death there? One suggested this and another suggested that. Finally, a spirit came forward, stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. By what means, the Lord asked, I will go and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets.
So what do we see here God doing? He's trying to bring the downfall of King Ahab.
The wicked king.
Wicked king. And he's using this situation with Jehoshaphat, who aligned himself, made allegiance to in a marriage, and also socially, and now we see a spiritual searching out. Okay? But then we see a political military. Continue on.
Okay, so he said, I will go be a lying spirit. You will succeed in enticing him, said the Lord. Go and do it. So now the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of these prophets of yours. The Lord has decreed disaster for you. And Zedekiah, son of Kenaniah, went up and slapped Micaiah in the face. Which way did the spirit from the Lord go when he went for me to speak to you? He asked. Micaiah replied, you will find out on the day you go to hide in an inner room. The king of Israel then ordered, take Micaiah and send him back to Ammon, the ruler of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, this is what the king says. Put this fellow in prison and give him nothing but bread and water till I return safely. Micaiah declared, if you ever return safely, the Lord has not spoken through me. Then he added, mark my words, all you people.
And here's the sad part that we see that King Jehoshaphat, after hearing what the prophet of God spoke, what did he do? He went into battle with King Ahab. And if we get anything, and this is where I really want to camp on, there's a lot of us, we want to know what God says. And we have this word over and over again. We're looking to what we are to do to obey God's word. We hear it. We heard from the prophet, Micaiah. But here, Jehoshaphat, having his spirit, just still went into battle, knowing what was going to happen. Don't we make that same mistake? We hear the word of God, and then we go out and ignore it. A godly king. I want to know, he did a good thing by asking, is there a good prophet? He didn't believe the lying prophets. But then he blatantly neglected and still went into battle. Go ahead.
I think he thought his country and his people was more important, that it was more important than actually following God at that point.
I think there's just a lot of pressure, you know.
A lot of pressure.
Like, but we can experience that a lot of pressure. You know, there's always reasons, like sometimes good pressure reasons, mm-hmm. why we should compromise, but do we choose to compromise or not?
Hearing the word clearly.
Yeah.
It's called peer pressure in the public school. Constantly. You want to live for the Lord, and you hear this pressure. You know what God says. You know, I remember I did a teaching on about anxiety. And people understood the truth and received the truth. But then a few of them, oh, I'm so depressed. And we all have a tendency, we love the Lord, but there's something in us that ignores the word, ignores what God says, and we see consequences of that. We hear that in marriage. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians, a key verse. I think it's in chapter 6. Starting in verse 14, it said, do not be unevenly yoked. What does that mean? Unequally yoked? What does that mean? What do you think that could mean? Unevenly or unequally yoked?
So if you have two horses and they're both equally strong, mm-hmm. they can pull the wagon pretty straight down the road. But if one of them is immature and maybe not as strong as the other one, the stronger one will tend to pull the horse, the wagon, off to one side, which will put even more energy and harm on the weaker horse because he's kind of being dragged along instead. So when you try to match up a team, when you make up a team, whether it be horses or two donkeys or whatever it is, you want them to have even skills so they can draw the wagon without injuring each other.
Spiritually speaking, I mean, that's what God wants us to be. Like, for example, if you're not equally, evenly yoked, it's going to be a bad match. If you've got, if you've got the guy wanting to follow the Lord and the girl that really doesn't, or she's a babe, she wants to do her, well, she's going to be, you know, either she's going to try, you know, or the worldly side's going to win, or vice versa.
But he's so cute, Pastor. He started to go to church.
Miserable. Yeah, that's why you both, that's where it comes to compromise in our individual walks. Now, if you've got two couples, you've got the guy and the girl who says, I'm not going to compromise with the Lord, with the Lord or for the Lord, or with this world, you get that together, and even though they might have flaws, you're going to see a powerful work of the Lord. But they have to be believed.
I remember in the story, we're going to get to it, and how Isaac, when Abraham wanted to go and not marry at all, he sent his servant into to get someone from his own house with all the gifts. And when he got Rebecca and brought her back, what was he doing? He was working. He was serving. You guys, girls, if you're searching the Lord, is that person serving the Lord wholehearted in Jesus? If not, red flag, you're going to compromise. Miss Gloria and I, we met. I promise, honey. She knew I was a basket case. Her main goal was to evangelize. So our relationship wasn't a fellowship, a oneness, a sharing. It was a friendship. But her, no, this guy is a mess. He needs Jesus. And when I got saved, then the issue of compromise, because she has never been tested in areas as a Christian. And so here it is, relationship. Stay away. Stay away. Dating, very dangerous, because that tendency to want to compromise your values is so strong. Just serve God. If God brings somebody, praise the Lord, because you're both serving on whatever side. I know one couple, Gloria and I, we met in Sarasota. They came to our church, and he was single, she was single. They met on the mission field, and one in Uganda, I think it was. They were all around the country, and all of a sudden, they both come here to the same church. And they began, real, hey, you know, we need some discipleship. And so they learned to stay apart, and so one got with Gloria, and the other one got with me. I was teaching a Bible study. I said, hey, why don't you come and start sharing? Start serving the Lord. They both had missionary hearts. He is serving the Lord, and God brought them together. And they got discipled, and they were careful on their relationship. They wanted to honor the Lord. And it was one of the couples other than Pastor Darren and Lisa that God brings us and help them to look at not to compromise in any way. Because it will affect your relationship down the line. And we know how God was angry and almost wiped out the tribe of Judah's kingly line. Satan will do anything, just a little. You give him an inch, and what happened? I want to take a mile. Over and over again, he wants us to compromise. And here's a big thing. Business relationship. You know it says don't unevenly yoke. We always use that for marriage. There's no context of marriage there. It applies. Someone read from verse 35 and 37 of chapter 22. This is the end of Jehoshaphat's life. After big revival going on because he almost got killed, when he came back, all of a sudden his eyes were open. Whew, I escaped it. God was merciful. He gave me another chance and began to walk and restore again to Israel, the nation, and bring him down all the idols and. But at the end of his life, look what happened. Anybody going to read it? Chapter 22? No. Oh, maybe 18. Okay, I am so sorry. I'll get it. I'll get the right chapter. Oh, I'm in Proverbs. That's
what it is. King of Judah made an alliance.
Yep. Yep.
It's in
20. 20. Okay, thank you. Sorry.
Can we just read it?
Yes, please.
Later, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, made an alliance with Ahaziah.
You're good enough.
King of Israel, who was guilty of wickedness. He agreed with him to construct a fleet of trading ships. After these were built at Ezion Geber, Eliezer, son of
we got
Dodavah. of Marissa prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, because you have made an alliance with Ahaziah, the Lord will destroy what you have made. The ships were wrecked and were not able to set sail to trade.
End of his life. You know, just like his father Asa. When he decided to go with the king of Syria, he said, battle. He said, oh, why don't you, I'll give you some money here. Why don't you break your alliance with Israel and come help me, help fortify and to fight against. And so, and it was victorious. But all of a sudden, God sent the prophet or a seer and told him, what you did was wrong. And then he says, for the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole world, looking for whose person's heart is totally committed or surrendered or pure before me. He began to beat the prophet and other people. But he also said, you wanted just to save this battle. I wanted to destroy even this Syrian king. But because you trusted in yourself, you weren't totally committed to me, what happened? You're going to have war with these people all the days of your life. And we see what's going Syria still, a thorn in Israel's flesh today. So be careful. Do not compromise in any way. And I'm going to end in this. Compromise begins when we leave the first love of Jesus Christ. That will ultimately lead to immorality and you fill in the blank. Stay close to Jesus. Walk with him. You're going to be tempted, but unwavering, say, hey, I'd rather lose all the money than to compromise one jot or tittle of God's word. Amen?
Amen.
Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, as Proverbs tells us, that, Father, that we should not, that your word of God is pure. And any time that we add to it, all we do is putrefy it, make it, weaken it. And we see more and more, Father, in the body of Christ today, even maybe here, Father, that there's one of these areas or others where we've compromised your truth. Please, Father, we heard your word. Help us to walk in it, even if it's cost us our life, all our money, our retirement plan, even our marriage. Are we willing to love Jesus more than our spouses? But I know if we do, who's going to turn down the love of Jesus? Who's a godly man or a godly woman that stand fast, uncompromising, unwavering. So bless my brothers and sisters. Help us to be strong. That's why we need each other in these days, Father, because the battle is strong. And we need to encourage each other to continue to fight. Not fight for victory, fight from victory. Because Jesus already won the battle. And there is no temptation that is common to man. But God is faithful every single time to lead us out of that temptation. So, Lord, thank you. For anything that I said, Lord, that would encourage, that we would keep wholly committed to you. Bad relationship, social gatherings, spiritual, business, militarily, political, help us. Father, it's not Trump that's going to make America, only Jesus Christ and the gospel. Help us now freely give the truth to people while we have a chance. Help us uncompromisingly. Wake us up, Lord. Wake us up.
A person that's walking, you know, straight and walking on the right path, and then all of a sudden they just go off the deep end. It's usually in the little choices of oh, it's a little bit. It's not really going to bother me. It's a little bit. It's not really going to make a difference. Or it's just a little bit. I just want to try a little bit. And that's where you have to be also careful, because I know for me, most of the bad choices I made started with just a little bit, whether it's letting a little bit in a bad movie or a little bit bad advice from a friend. Or so just be aware.
You sear your conscience each little bit.
Yeah. Because we can't justify, you know, eating the whole pie, but we can justify just a little bit.
That is true.
But that's where we get poisoned, so just be aware of that.
And as you sear each one, then it gets a little bit more. And, and then, in the end, you've eaten the whole pie.
Yes, that's easier to do it.
Yeah.
Once you do it all the same time.
And there is a little game kind of going around now called Truth or Dare. You may have heard of it. And you may have even tried to play it. But what it is a compromise. They're going to try to challenge your choices with something that you normally wouldn't do under normal circumstances. Because you're playing this little game, it's okay? No. That's a compromise. And that's not what you want to do. Stay true to your ideas and your, what you believe. You don't let somebody challenge you into doing something which is not your own true nature.
Charles Spurgeon said, I believe that one reason why the Church of God at this present moment has very little influence over it is because the world has so much influence over the Church. You gotta be careful. We have an opportunity that God has granted us, but it's not political. It's Jesus. And so you may get suspended in school, not this school, the prison. You'll get a green card for that. But so maybe God has you in the public school so you can be like, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel. They were teenage boys. Anybody else have? Yes, Ms. Mealy.
In the military, they do land navigation training where they throw you in the middle of the woods and they give you a map and a compass and some grid cutters.
Thank you.
And it just made me think, you know, compromising. If you have your compass aimed at where you're supposed to go, but if you're off even by a fraction of a degree, you're going to miss the mark. So in our life of Christ, our compass should be pointing at Christ so that we don't deviate from the way and get in trouble.
As a land surveyor, one of the instruments we use is to put on top, and it measures all sorts of angles and distances. The plumb line. But the crew before us didn't level the instrument over the point and put in the footings in the wrong place. It cost them tens of thousands of dollars because it didn't line up with the plumb line. As God's instrument, us, are we lining up with God's word? Or we just tilted, just like the same thing. We're all wrong. Very costly. Bless you. Have a blessed week.